The long prophetic book of Isaiah. This part was written as Persia began to triumph over Babylon, and the exiles and their children and grandchildren realized that they might just be returned to their homeland after their long exile in Babylon. Our part is called the Second Servant Song. God's chosen people are speaking as the servant or the person named Israel. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, you who live on the coast, and pay attention, you people from far away. Yahweh called me from the womb. From my mother's belly, God named my name so it is remembered. God made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of God's hand, God protected me. God made me like a polished arrow, and in God's quiver, God hid me away. God said to me,
"You are my servant, Israel. In you I will be glorified."
But I said, "For nothing I have worked. For emptiness and pointlessness I have drained my strength. Yet surely my case is with Yahweh, and my reward is with my God." And now Yahweh says, "I was pulled from the womb to be God's servant, to restore Jacob back to God, to gather Israel to God." And God said,
"It's too trifling a thing that you should be my servant to rise up the tribe of Jacob and to return the deportees to Israel. I will make you as a light to the nations, and my salvation will be as far as the ends of the earth."
Thus says Yahweh,
the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of Yahweh, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.
This ends our reading from Isaiah. Isaiah felt all his work was useless and pointless. The people were exiled in a foreign land. And God responds, "I'll be glorified in you. You will be a light not just to your tribe, but to the whole earth. The return from Babylon will come soon." It's easy for us to feel that our work is futile when we see our hard work undone, our carefully made plans destroyed by carelessness and greed. But God takes the long view. The gospel is for the earth, not just for a few individuals. Today's psalm is sung by a patient servant of God who has endured much suffering and credits God with rescue. Our psalm is poetry where the ideas, not the words, rhyme. Listen for the repeated idea when Mary speaks. Hear the word of God as it's found in Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. I waited patiently for Yahweh. God inclined to me and heard my cry. God drew me up from the desolate pit,
out of the miry bog,
and set my feet upon a rock,
making my steps secure.
God put a new song in my mouth,
a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear and put their trust in Yahweh. Happy are those who make Yahweh their trust, who do not turn to the proud.
To those who go astray after false gods,
you have multiplied, O Yahweh my God, your wondrous deeds
and your thoughts toward us.
None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, "Here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God."
Your law is written on my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation.
See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Yahweh.
I have not hidden your saving help within my heart.
I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Yahweh, withhold your mercy from me.
Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
This ends our reading from the book of Psalms. The psalmist is clear that doing the will of God is more important than going through the motions of religious ritual. Going after the false gods of success and riches will not save anyone. Holding fast to God's law of peace and justice is the source of salvation. And so the psalmist spoke of God's deliverance. Our gospel reading comes from the first chapter of the fourth gospel. The evangelist starts out by telling us who Jesus is and then spends all the other chapters in the gospel continuing to tell us who Jesus is and what he is about. Listen for the word of God as it's found in John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them,
"What are you looking for?"
They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them,
"Come and see."
They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This ends our reading. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your Spirit illuminating and interpreting these words for us. May your Spirit move among us this day so that we may hear what you are telling us. In Christ's name, amen. John the Baptizer called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That phrase, Lamb of God, is unusual. It's just used there by John. So the Lamb of God could refer to the Passover lamb. That means it would remind the chosen people about the rescue they experienced from the slavery in Egypt. Or the Lamb of God could be the scapegoat who bears the sins of the people out into the wilderness. The problem with that is that the scapegoat was indeed a goat and not a lamb. The Lamb of God could be a sacrificial offering that was supposed to be offered in the morning and the evening at the temple. It could be an Aramaic wordplay because in Aramaic, servant and lamb sound almost the same. The Lamb of God could be the triumphant Lamb of Revelation. Taking away the sins of the world could mean that the Lamb bears our sins, or it could mean that the Lamb leads us away from our sins and shows us the right path. What we do know is that when John told his disciples, "Here's the Lamb of God," they followed Jesus. The evangelist doesn't tell us what the two disciples thought. It just says what they did. They went with Jesus. They followed him. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, whom the Holy Spirit touched and stayed with. Sometimes we get caught up in trying to believe the right way. But the evangelist doesn't tell us what those two disciples believed. He just said, they followed Jesus. And if you read the Gospels, it's clear that what's important is following Jesus and showing love. That's hard to do all the time, especially when people don't make good choices. It's easy for us not to be loving and to judge other people for their choices. One person I know had a job that included sometimes working with the homeless, and she said when she drove away from work, she would think, "Thank God, that's not me." And then she got sick and lost her job and her home and came close to being like that. And she learned a kinder response is, "God, show me how I can help. Let me be a part of your plan for all people to have homes and food." Judging others wasn't something that Jesus encouraged. I think that's one of the sins that Jesus came to take away. Judging ourselves, deeming all our actions pointless, and feeling discouraged is also easy to do, like the servant did in Isaiah, saying, "For nothing I've worked, for emptiness and pointlessness I've drained my strength." But then God gave the servant a greater call, saying that you won't be the gatherer of just one nation, you will be a light for all the nations. And God's salvation won't be limited to one people, but will include all the earth. We have so many needs in our world: poverty, addiction, sickness, prejudice, and ignorance. We are called to join the servant and be a light to the nations, to follow Jesus, the Lamb of God. Our efforts can seem very small, but sometimes small efforts can make a big difference. Here is a video about people who are meeting some of the needs in our very own community. So volunteering with Community Connections is one way to show our love, but there are other ways too. In the next few weeks during worship, we'll offer up some ways that you can help. It's hard to know how to make a difference in the world unless we know the world's needs. We know our own needs, but we don't know the needs of others unless we listen to them. Cynthia told us how worthless she felt and how much she appreciated the people who showed her that she had value. Like many teenagers, she used drugs, and her mom worried. And then her mom passed away when Cynthia was still a teenager, and so Cynthia felt guilty. She wasn't able to keep up the house. She continued to use drugs, and then she made an especially bad choice, and she lost it all. And so she appreciated the people at the Montana Rescue Mission who helped her. And then she talks about how great it was that they trusted and gave a chance to a felon, and she became a dietary aide. And then in the story, Cynthia says she was a dietary aide and then a cook and then a CNA. Well, you don't just move up to being a certified nursing assistant. You don't just hang around in the kitchen as a dietary aide, and then if you work hard enough in the kitchen, you become a CNA. You have to take classes and exams and train for it. And she worked hard and became a CNA. And now she feels successful enough to take the risk to tell her story on video. So now it's on YouTube so that everyone can see it and know her background. What kind of courage does that take? I find her story very compelling, especially the way that the people around her held her accountable so she could hold herself accountable. They loved her, and she found out that she was worth loving. Cynthia's story reminds me of the psalm when the psalmist sang, "You drew me out of a miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Cynthia said she sang church songs in her pod, and they ministered to everyone but her. And now she knows that those church songs about God's love and Christ's salvation are for her too. Love is what made the difference in Cynthia's life. Love that I think she felt she lost when her mother passed away. And it was strangers who helped her. This is Martin Luther King weekend. And one of the things that Martin Luther King said was that at his funeral, he didn't want people to talk about the awards he won. He wanted them to say, Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. And he also said, not for his funeral, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Congressman John Lewis recently said, the arc of the moral universe does not just naturally curve towards justice, we must bend it. Lewis was one of the first freedom riders. He was attacked by the Alabama state troopers and left for dead in 1964 in Selma. And for him, having faith is about action. John Lewis said the civil rights movement was based on faith. Many of us who were participants in this movement saw our involvement as an extension of our faith. We saw ourselves doing the work of the Almighty. Segregation and racial discrimination were not in keeping with our faith, so we had to do something. Bending the arc towards justice starts with love, the kind of love that Cynthia felt from others, and the kind of love that she is now able to give to other people. Following Jesus isn't about believing the right way, it's about behaving in a way that is loving. Isaiah quotes God saying, I will make you as a light to the nation, and my salvation will be as far as the ends of the earth. We can shed light wherever we are in our part of the earth, showing love for the Lamb of God by being kind to the people around us, even strangers. Amen.